Will you please turn to the minor prophets, Hosea? Hosea chapter 1. The first 5 verses. The word of Jehovah that came unto Hosea, the son of Beriah, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of Jehovah through Hosea. And Jehovah said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredom, and children of whoredoms, for the land is entirely given up to whoredom, away from Jehovah. And he went to Goma, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And Jehovah said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little, and I will visit the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Then the last chapter, chapter 14. We'll read the whole chapter. Chapter 14. O Israel, return unto Jehovah thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with your words, and turn to Jehovah. Say unto him, Forgive all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the works of our hands, Thou art our God, because in Thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel, he shall blossom as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon, his shoots shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They shall return and sit under his shadow. They shall revive as corn, and blossom as the vine. The renown thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I answer him, and I will observe him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Intelligent, and he shall know them. For the ways of Jehovah are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who so love us and die for us. We do praise and thank thee for thy precious word that thou hast given to us, that through thy word we may know thee. We ask that thy Holy Spirit will once again breathe upon thy written word and make thy word speaking to us, to each one of us. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. We have shared briefly on the 4 major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And God willing, we will now begin to share on the 12 minor prophets. Now these 12 are called minor or lesser prophets. Not because their messages, their prophecies are less important, but because of the smaller compass of their prophecies. As a matter of fact, these 12 are the organs of very important prophecies. prophecies concerning the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, the nations around them, and prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. The major prophets probably, I say probably because I think they do. They do quote the minor prophets. For instance, in Isaiah, you can see the sayings of Micah and the prophecy of Joel. Jeremiah uses Obadiah. And Ezekiel expand on the prophecy of Joel. Of the 12 prophets, probably some are even ahead of the major prophets. And we know that the prophecy in the Old Testament actually is concluded by these 12 minor prophets. You know, it is very interesting to see that from the time of Samuel to Elijah, the prophets did not leave any written things for us, except maybe few words in the book of Kings. So as a matter of fact, you find that these minor prophets, especially the early ones, actually they follow or they link up with the written prophetic poems of David, Solomon, Asaph, and the Songs of Korah. And they continue on to conclude the prophecies in the Old Testament. Among the Jewish circle and the Christian circle, it is commonly accepted that these 12 are a unit. So we call them the 12. You know, like the 12 apostles in the New Testament. Chronologically speaking, from Hosea to Nahum, they prophesied during the period of pre-Assyrian and Assyrian time. Then we have Habakkuk and Zephaniah. They prophesied during the period of the Chaldean time. And finally we have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They are the prophets of post-exilic period. Hosea probably is not, time-wise, the first of the 12. But Hosea is put at the head of the list of the 12 because of the greater compass of his prophecies. Just like the book of Romans in the New Testament is not the first epistle written, but it is put at the head of the epistles because it is the most comprehensive epistle. Hosea, that name in the scripture you find has the same derivative as Joshua in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. It means salvation or deliverance. He prophesied in the 8th century before Christ, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. Now, this Jeroboam is the second one. Jeroboam the second, not the first one. As you read this book of Hosea, you find that his language and his style are a little bit difficult and abrupt. You find that he changes so swiftly from one thing to another, and sometimes you find it is difficult to catch on. And yet you find his prophecies are considered as great prophecies in the Bible. It is very easy to classify that book. Roughly, it is divided into two parts. Chapter 1 to chapter 3 is personal. Chapter 4 to chapter 14 is national. He was a prophet raised up by God to the nation of Israel, that is the northern kingdom. And he is the first prophet whose personal life is used by God as a symbol to his fellow man. His own personal life is a miniature picture of the national life of Israel. You find his unfaithful wife is a mirror image of the unfaithfulness of the nation of Israel to God. And you find the faithful husband, that is Hosea, is a picture of the faithfulness of our God to us. In a sense, the personal history of the prophet Hosea is very tragic. You know, a prophet is a holy man of God who spoke for God. And yet, strangely, you find God commanded Hosea to go and marry a woman of whoredoms. Now, what do you mean by whoredoms in the scripture? It means that one is pursuing or seeking after many objects of sinful love. Just think of Hosea, a holy man of God, and yet God ordered him to marry an unholy woman. Human dignity, personal honor, were all deeply hurt. And yet, in obedience to God, he married that woman. Why? Because this was an extraordinary time. And God used us extraordinary means to speak to his people. God not only revealed himself to us by visions, God not only spoke to us by his words, but sometimes he used acts, actions to arrest our attention. And in the prophet Hosea, God uses him, his personal life, to speak to his rebellious and unfaithful people. In obedience to God, Hosea went and took a woman of whoredom by the name of Gomer to himself. Now, Gomer means perfection. But what kind of perfection was he? She was the daughter of Diblaim. And Diblaim in Hebrews means a double lump of figs. It means sweetness. So in other words, Gomer represents the sweetness of the pleasure of sins. You know, there is a certain sweetness of pleasure in sins. But it is the parent of destruction. The prophet Hosea not only obeyed the command of God in doing something against human dignity, but we find that he really loved this woman. And out of that union came forth the first son. And God said the name of their son should be Jezreel. And Jezreel means he will scatter. God will scatter his people. And then another daughter was born. And God said her name shall be Rorahamah. Rorahamah means having obtained no mercy. There will be no mercy. And then again another son was born. And God said the name of the son should be Lo-Ami, means not my people. Because of the unfaithfulness of God's people, God said he will scatter them. They will not obtain mercy from him. And he will deny that they were his people. But this woman, Gomer, even after she was married to this holy man and had born several children. Her evil nature and habits were still there. So when you come to chapter 3, you find that she left her husband. She went for another man. And she had degenerated to such an extent that she literally sold herself as a slave. Now, what would the prophet do with such an unfaithful wife? Strangely, God said, go and take her back. Bought her back. So the prophet was there. He paid a price, the price of a slave, and bought her back to himself. He loved her with such a love. So he covenanted with this woman and said, do not do anything wrong within many days. Keep yourself pure for many days. And I will do the same until the time came when we could be united again. And that was the story of the prophet Hosea. A most unusual story. It is against all human reasonings, beyond human affection. But Hosea did as God commanded him, and did it in a way with such love. Now, the personal history of the prophet Hosea speaks to the nation of Israel. Here you'll find this northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel represents a backsliding nation. You know, in the beginning, God raised up a nation, the nation of Israel, and gave to them a king, David. The nation of Israel, with the house of David on the throne, represents the kingdom of God on earth. But then after Solomon died, the nation split into two. The southern nation, two tribes, belonged to the house of David. But the 10 tribes split themselves up under Jeroboam the first. So the northern nation is called the nation of Israel, and the southern nation is called the nation of Judah. So in typology, the northern nation of Israel represents a backsliding nation. Why? Because they split from the original kingdom of God. They were not under the legitimate rule of the house of David. Now, if you go back to history, in 1 Kings chapter 12, you will find that Jeroboam, who became king of the northern nation of Israel, now at that time, even though the nation was split into two, but the people still went to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship God. So Jeroboam looked at the situation. Now he thought that if the people continue to go back to Jerusalem to worship God, sooner or later they will return to the house of David. So out of political expediency, he had to improvise a religious measure. So he built two golden cows. And, of course, that was nothing new. Because you remember, after the children of Israel left Egypt in the wilderness, when Moses was at the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel came to Aaron and said, build us a god. And Aaron built them a golden calf. And they worshipped that golden calf. So here you'll find Jeroboam went back to their history, and he pulled out a part of that history, and he built two golden calves. He put one in Dan, the other in Bethel and say, now, this is your Jehovah, this is your God. You do not need to go to Jerusalem to worship God. You can worship God in Bethel. You can worship God in Dan. This is Jehovah, the God that led you out of Egypt. And at the same time, he also arranged a religious system to back up that worship. And he tried to imitate everything that God had ordered in Jerusalem. So he had his priests. The priests were not Levites, but anyone who wanted to be a priest could do so, could offer himself to be a priest. And he also make all the arrangements of worship just like the worship in Jerusalem, and yet it is a counterfeit. So you have a counterfeit religion there. Outwardly, the people were still worshiping God, Jehovah. But actually, they were worshiping the cows. In other words, instead of worshiping the Creator, they were worshiping the creature. The works of man's hand. It became a nature worship. The nation of Israel backslidden into nature worshiping. And as you go on with the history, you'll find that during the time of Ahab, he married a heathen wife, Jezebel. And through Jezebel, foreign idols, foreign gods were introduced to the northern kingdom of Israel. She introduced to the kingdom of Israel the worship of Baal. Now, Baal means master or lord. Baal worship is everywhere among the heathen nations. Instead of worshiping God, who is our Father, they began to worship Baal, the master, cruel, hard, bloodthirsty God. And actually, Baal worship is nature worship. So you find the whole nation had gone away from God, into worshiping idols. They became a backsliding nation. Wherever there is false religion, there will be corrupt behavior, manner. So you find in the time of Hosea, not only they were worshiping the golden cows, the Baals, but you find that the whole nation was corrupted. Lying, cheating, bloodshedding, violence, drinking, debauchery of all kinds. From the kings, to the priests, to the prophets, to the people. As God looked upon this backslidden nation, it hurt him so much because he loved them dearly. So he sent his prophets to them to warn them, to judge them, try to restore them. But in spite of what God did to them, the people refuse to repent. If you read the book of Josiah, you will find that The heart of God was so hurt. He said, Ephraim, what can I do to you? He loved them so much. He gave them everything they had. And yet they turned their back to him. And they went after idols. God had to chastise them. God sent rottenness to them. God even sometimes acted like a lion to them, to tear them apart. But they wouldn't repent. They went after Assyria for help. They went after Egypt for help. They did not return to God for help. The only one who could help them. So finally God said, you are not my people. God gave them up. His glory departed. And they were taken into Assyrian captivity. If you read 2 Kings chapter 15 to 17, you find that eventually you find the northern nation of Israel was destroyed by Assyria. But does it mean that God gave them up altogether? Does it mean that God did not love them anymore? Just like God commanded Hosea to go back and redeem his estranged wife, adulterous wife, God still loves his unfaithful people. You know, the greatest sin in the world is the sin of infidelity to love. And here you'll find the children of Israel. They committed that sin against God. But God still loved them. The nation was destroyed. But during this long period of not my people, during this long period of being set aside by God. And it was a long period, because they are still in that period, even today. There was no king, no prince, no priest, no sacrifice, no altar. But even during this long period, God had not forsaken them. God was purifying them. God was still working on them, trying to bring sense into them. And one day, his love will restore them to himself. That is the love of God. So the message of Hosea is the love of God. God draws them with cords of love. That cord may be long, and yet it cannot be broken. He loved them with an everlasting love. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that what was written is for our admonition. So here you'll find the personal history of the prophet Hosea, taught an important lesson to the nation of Israel. But at the same time, you'll find that both the personal history of Hosea and the national history of Israel. Teach us very important lessons. And that's something we need to consider before the Lord. The northern nation of Israel is a type of the backsliding church. You know, Christ loved the church and gave himself. Whether you look at it individually or corporately. Now, individually, we were all sinners. God created us with a noble purpose. He created us according to his own image. We were his masterpiece. We were created with the capacity of knowing God, of communing with God, of even having God dwelling in us. We are created with such noble purpose. And yet, as we look back into human history, we find from our forefather Adam unto us, how we have rebelled against God. How we have sinned. We have the spirit of whoredom in us. We went after many objects of sinful love. And yet God still loves us. He loved us to such a degree that he sent the only begotten Son to us to be a man, to be like one of us. The Holy God desires to be united with people so unholy as we are. We cannot explain it. We cannot explain such love. You know, for a holy man of God like Hosea, to marry such a woman of whoredom is something beyond our understanding. No one would choose to do that. Even if you're forced to do that, you won't do it. And yet to think of God, the holiness of God. Brothers and sisters, God is holy. Holy, 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 God Almighty. And yet for such a holy God to condescend himself, to seek after sinners such as we are, it is an unfathomable love. We cannot measure it. But that is what God is. He is love. He loves us. He loves us to such a degree that he gave us his only begotten Son. His Son is willing to become a man, to be one of us, but without sin, in order that he might redeem us from our sins. God brought us to himself by his love. That is what the church is. The church is to be the bride of Christ, the beloved Son of God. And you find that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the 120, filled them, and dwell in them. That the Holy Spirit is God. God Himself came in the Holy Spirit to dwell in the church. That's love. You read church history. You'll find that we who were redeemed, we who were saved from such debauchery, from such sins, and we who are called to be united with Christ, in whom the Spirit of God dwells. But we did not change our habit. It seems as if very soon, very quickly, we rebel against the one who loves us. We went off seeking for other love, other things. The church backslid. Instead of worshiping God, we worship the work of our own hands. We make Christianity a religion instead of a living faith. We create a thing called Christianity, which is a counterfeit of the true worship of God. Outwardly, it is in the name of God, but actually, it is the work of our own hands. We become adulterers. We love other things more than God. We have lost our first love. And again in church history, you find God sent His messengers to call His church back. And there were revivals from time to time. But unfortunately, these revivals are just surface. They are not deep enough. And very soon you'll find the church went back to his backslidden state. As to the nation of Israel, God sent rottenness to them, moth to them. And brothers and sisters, when you look at Christianity today, what do you find here? Everything is mildewed, eaten by moth, rotten, the testimony of Jesus is eaten up, is weak, is corrupted. Sometimes God has to act like a lion to us, to break us up. And you know, when the church is under persecution, it seems that there is a returning somewhat. But once the pressure is gone, then the old thing returns. Is there any hope for this backslidden church? Has God given up His church? Well, thank God, even in that kind of state, as the northern nation of Israel, God still has a few who were faithful to Him. Because if you read the book of Hosea, you will find that there are still people, like the prophet. They say, let us return. Let us seek Him. There were still some few who desire to follow after God. And in these few, the testimony of God continued. But so far as the mass is concerned, it seems to be a hopeless case. Apostasy is upon us. You know, in 2 Thessalonians, it is prophesied that before the coming of the Lord, there will be general falling away, apostasy. Prepare the way for the Antichrist. And dear brothers and sisters, apostasy is already upon us. And yet, the love of God is still there. In this book of Hosea, we see two things. One is the ways of God, and the other is the love of God. Of course, the ways of God are governed by His love. The ways of God are the ways that God treats His people. As God treated His people of Israel in the old days, in the same way God is treating His people today, His church. He is calling us back to repentance. And if we do not repent and return to first love, He has to judge us because He is a righteous God. He has to chastise us because He is our Father. He has to deal us with drastic means. But remember, even so, it is love. You know, it is God who first loved us, not we who first loved God. It is God who originates the whole process. His love is active towards us. And His love suffers long. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first quality of love is love suffers long. The long suffering of God. Even today you find the world exists under the long suffering of God. Otherwise the world would be destroyed long ago. The reason why our Lord hasn't come back yet for His church is because of His long-suffering towards His church. He gave us opportunities to repent and to return. But how much it must have hurt Him. Just like how much it must have hurt Hosea when his wife left him. But how forgiving is our God. It is as if no matter what we did against Him, He didn't mind. Not that He did not suffer, but it seems that He didn't mind. He endured. Love endures. And His love never changes. It is everlasting. But the ways of God, He has to deal with us according to His righteousness and according to His love. And that's the reason why you find today in Christianity, what do you find our situation today is? Just like the nation of Israel. No king, no prince, no priest, no altar, no sacrifice. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. That is the situation of Christianity today. But even that is love. God is using such situation to bring us back to Himself. So when you come to the last chapter of Hosea, which actually gave us the theme of that chapter, of that book, it concludes with, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Intelligent, and he shall know them. For the ways of Jehovah are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. The ways of God are right. They are right because they are motivated by love. But what will be our reaction? If we are righteous, we will walk in them. If we are the just, we will walk in them. In other words, we will accept the ways of God. We will justify the ways of God. We will repent. We will accept His judgment and repent and return to Him. Be purified that we may be united with Him forever. But if we continue on, the transgressors shall fall therein. In other words, there will be judgment. So, dear brothers and sisters, if the prophecy, the book of Amos, speaks of the severity of God, then the prophecy, the book of Hosea, tells us of the goodness of God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee for Thy everlasting love, that Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, we do confess that we have been unfaithful, but Thou art faithful, for Thou cannot deny Thyself. We do praise and thank Thee that Thou hast drawn us with the cords of love. Thou wilt not let us go, but Thou wilt continue to love us until Thy love overcomes us and brings us to Thyself. Lord, we do pray that we may have our eyes open and not to fight against Thy love, but to yield to Thy love and walk in Thy ways. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.